The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is TJ Ryan. TJ is the host of the podcast Out There, which you can find at outthere.podbean.com. He has had this show for many years where he interviews psychics, mediums, UFO witnesses, and all things paranormal. In fact, he has had me on as a guest on his show a couple of times. And he has been a guest on We Are Not Alone way back in October of 2009. And we have kept it in touch ever since. He has had UAP sightings since childhood. But more recently, in May of 2022, to be exact, he had another kind of sighting that raised my interest. He witnessed a passenger plane that appeared to be frozen in midair at a comparatively close proximity. Optical illusion, perhaps, but that wouldn't answer the question as to why there was no sound associated with the event. Or why so many others have had similar experiences around the world. But before we get ahead of ourselves, allow me to welcome back to the show Mr. TJ Ryan. Hi, TJ.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. Thanks for having me on again. Nice to see you and nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you again. Can't see each other on the radio, but we can certainly talk, eh?
Well, I can see you through this interview, but you can't see me. So maybe you got the better of it, right?
I do. Oh no, you have the worst of it, given you can see me. But so, anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so tell us about your show Out There. How long have you had that?
I started doing the podcast, I believe, in 2007 or 2008, and it was based, like you, Dave, or David, which would you like, Dave?
Dave,
like
that's fine.
And so, I mean, we've been friends. We've joked around a lot over the years, but it's not like I don't know you. But like you, I had some experiences when I was younger that were unexplainable, and it kind of motivated me to seek answers and in just about everything. You know, regardless of what the topic is, I'm curious to no end. And I like to hear people's stories and accounts. And I just think there's so much out there. And it just really fascinates me and excites me. So I started doing in 2008, approximately, Out There podcast. And it was really about the Bigfoots and some of the things that people maybe aren't into, but UFOs and just about any mystery there is. And then I also kind of got into the spiritual end of it as well, because I think there's an answer for all of it. And, you know, there's a bigger presence that probably is aware of all these things going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people call it metaphysical. I just tie it all together as, hey, things I want to learn about. So that's where I'm at.
Do you think there's a connection between, say, UFOs and and the spirit realm and time travel or other dimensions, whatever.
I think it's all part of God's universe, isn't it? And multiverses, if they exist, I mean, it's all part of creation. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to be from somewhere. So if, you know, if I believe there's life on other planets, there's probably other dimensions where life exists. Mm-hmm. They're probably visiting us through other dimensions, and some maybe from other planets. They found a way through wormholes to travel through space and bend it and get here. You saw the one in 1962. You said the smoke appeared in the sky and then it just popped out, right?
Right. Just and like it was, just like the sky was giving birth to this huge craft, is the way I put it.
And so that seems like to me, without knowing for sure, but like something was going on to create that. Was that part of them bending the time and space? I mean, who knows? I'm just open to all possibilities. And I've talked to so many different people over the years about UFO encounters, and I'm sure you've talked to a bazillion people. None of them are quite the same, are they, Dave?
They have one, I would say they have one underlying similarity, but they're all different. They're all different in many ways, you know?
And over the years, too, I've noticed how, like in the 50s, there were different craft that were reported, the egg-shaped landing crafts, and they came down with little pods. And then you made me wonder, were they just seeing things? Because those things aren't around anymore. At least you don't hear many stories about them. It's more about the triangles and maybe the cigar-shaped and these other ones. And so I'm thinking we've been visited by a lot of different beings. I can't believe these people were making it up back in the 50s. Some of these good eyewitnesses, maybe they saw some things differently, but it just seems like it's changed over the years.
Yeah, what do you think about our situation, our craft that, you know, when, you know, Orville and Wilbur first had their craft, looks a lot different, looked a lot different than the jets of today, huh?
A little bit different, yes.
A little bit different.
Be so comfy to ride in.
Right. And even in different countries, we have different looking craft. So why not different looking craft in over time spans from different planets or different dimensions, right?
Exactly. And they've evolved probably with some other craft. So maybe that's the change, the reason for some of the change. And maybe we just have different races that came and haven't come back or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yet I think most of them have come back and visit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that there are those out there, the watchers, as they call them, that are kind of keeping an eye on us and making sure that the baddies don't take us over. Because I believe if their purpose, when I say they, I don't know how many theys there are, but if their purpose was to take us over, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Mm. So they're kind of protecting us, the watchers.
I would think, yeah.
Don't you think there is an element, though, on the planet that could be influenced by the maybe the darker aliens, if you want to call them that?
An element on this planet?
Mm-hmm. Do you think there could be some behind the scenes that may not be connected to the good guys?
Oh, very, very possible. Very possible. I would call them the government. Whoops, did I say that out loud? Yes, somebody's listening. Ask me if I care. But tell me about, tell us, I should say, my audience and I, about your first UFO sighting. You told us before, but remind us about that.
I was 8 years old, and I was supposed to be in bed. When it got dark in the summer, we went up to our bedroom. Lights out. Mom said we could stay up, and they were outside because it was so nice out. And we don't get many days like that in Upper Michigan. You know, and it was nice at night where it wasn't super cold, and they were outside in the lawn chairs. My brother and I, we shared a bedroom, and out my window, I could look over the top of the kitchen, which was one story, and I could see them out in the yard, and I could see to the east, directly east, and I could see the skyline, and I could see the stars. And I liked looking at the stars when I was a kid a lot. We all did as a family. And as I looked out, I saw these lights that appeared to be on a very large craft because they were spaced out, but they were way on the tree line. And it was just barely above the trees, and it moved extremely slowly across the tree line from north to south. And I alerted my parents and said, "What is that? Did you see that?" And they started walking as close as they could within our property to see if they could get a better view. And they watched the lights for a period of time. Eventually, out my window, I couldn't see them anymore. And eventually, they were gone. And I believe it was three different lights that I saw on it. And I really felt, if this is a plane, boy, that is the slowest moving plane I've ever. But it seemed like it was oval in appearance, but it was such a ways away. And it was, of course, it was dark. So it was hard to see that. But I really felt that it was, my memory is pretty good at it, but maybe it's not quite as sharp as it was. And I believe it was an oval craft that slowly moved over the top of the trees. And I asked my mom the next day, "Well, what was that?" She goes, "Well, I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you right now."
It'll so scare like, you.
It's like, "Mom, why are you not doing that?" And then the next one I saw was in 2007. I was traveling, heading towards my house, and you know where I live because you've been out to that wonderful long drive from Lower Michigan. And
oh, trees, nothing but trees.
And it's like, I was getting to a town that's called Bark River. It's a small town. It's about 10 miles or so, maybe a dozen miles from Escanaba. Escanaba's right on Lake Michigan. So it's pretty much due east or due west. And as I was traveling west, I just happened to glance up in the sky, which is what I do. I'm always looking. You know, you got to be looking for these things. Mm. Of course, maintaining that you're keeping your eye on the road because that could be deadly, you know. Mm. And I've crashed a few vehicles that way. I'm just kidding. And so I'm looking up to the just above the tree line, and I see this. It's almost like an invisible craft. I don't know how to describe it. It's just the sun is getting to the point, and this has to be like winter, early winter when I saw this, because the sun was at a very low point and it wasn't that late in the day. And so it was kind of hard for me to see this thing. But it was only when it turned a little bit that I saw a silver metallic reflection. And it was only for a moment. And then I keep driving and I followed this for several miles. And then I'd say, "It's not there. It's not there." And then I see it turn a little bit. Oh, there it is. And it was going the same direction as me. And it was barely above the treetops. And I was gaining on it. And by the time I got to the casino where you stayed, the Island Resort, you stayed at that place, correct, Dave?
I visited, yes.
And so when I got to there, that's when I eventually lost it. But I saw it one last time. And it's like it made a turn. And this time I saw it more clearly. And I couldn't tell if it was a wing shape, like a V shape, or if it was an oval. I just saw another reflection of silver metallic. And a friend of mine who used to be in the Air Force said, "There's no way that commercial planes can be silver metallic." They outlawed that years ago. You might have seen them in movies and shows years ago, or people might even remember that, but they no longer are you allowed to have a silver metallic plane, as far as I know.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because you're going to blind somebody and you're going to cause them this. If you're going up in the sky and you both have silver metallic and you reflect on each other, could that cause an issue?
Yeah.
So that's what I understand of it. Now, I'm not an expert on that 100%, but I'm pretty sure that was not a plane because why could I not see it through that whole period of time? So
you feel they have a way of cloaking their craft?
I would think so, right? And, you know, I think we both know Marilyn Rubin is who yes. the name that rings a bell. And I've interviewed her, and I'm sure you told me this as well, is that they only allow themselves certain people to see them. So you could have a whole group of people looking up in the sky and only one person or two people might see them. Mm-hmm. So not only can they cloak, but they can kind of put a suggestion in your brain where you don't even see them. And I think about an incident that happened maybe probably 7 or 8 years ago. My father-in-law, we were up at his cabin on Camp 7 which is, it's probably about 50 miles kind of to the northeast of where I'm talking from in Escanaba today. And it's just in the middle of nowhere, and there's a nice lake there, a nice lake. And we go up there and enjoy our summers up there. Well, he was kind of a non-believer in some of the things I would talk about. You know, he didn't really, I love it when the non-believers see things. And so my wife, Sandy, and I were outside with Bob, my father-in-law, and he looks up in the sky and he goes, "Hey, Teach, do you see that? There's a craft moving to the right. It stopped, and now it's going back to the left." Now, of course, I want to see these things, but I didn't see it at all, and neither did Sandy. And so he swears by seeing this thing, and yet neither one of us. And so that could be, again, where somebody was switched on, as Marilyn would call it, and was able to see something where the others were not able to do that.
Right. There's also a matter of missing time. Have you ever experienced that?
Only when I talk to you.
I see.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I can't recall ever. Have you ever felt that?
Me, yes.
So when you had that incident in 1962, you felt there was missing time attached.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I never felt that with anything that I can think of. With the first UFO or the second UFO, it was just kind of like I was watching something. Mm-hmm. And even with the plane that I saw, everything just seemed like to slow down. And when it's slow motion, I don't know how I saw it that clearly, because it's like I did the math on that. And we can get into that story unless you have some other questions.
Yeah, no, I wanted to get into that now, but I need to take a break to remind my listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and this is We Are Not Alone. And we're talking to researcher and host of Out There, Mr. T.J. Ryan. So, T.J., tell us about this plane that you saw recently that appeared to be frozen in the sky.
First, let me say sorry for not contacting you sooner on this. I didn't know if you would think it would be interesting enough to put on or just even talk about. I was wanted to contact you, and I've been so busy all summer long and fall. Mm-hmm. I barely have done any shows, but you were on my mind. So just so you know, Dave. And I was heading home that day. It was probably like the very beginning of May. And, you know, the buds are not quite on the trees, which helps because that allowed me to see some things that day that maybe I wouldn't see if the buds were on the trees. Because even this area that I got to where I eventually saw a clear opening, there's still a couple little trees there, which I've driven by in the summer. And I'm thinking, how did I see that so clearly? And now that it turned fall and winter, I go, oh, it's nice and clear through that spot. Mm. So I live about maybe 15 minutes out of town, heading west, due west towards, if you're heading towards Minnesota, from Michigan, Wisconsin to Minnesota, or upper Michigan. So you're heading due west, and I make this trek every day. I've been doing it for many years. We've been living out in that direction for about 22 years now. And I was getting to, as I mentioned earlier, there's a town called Bark River, which is about 10 or 12 miles from Escanaba. The Island Resort and Casino is another mile or so up the road, and I'm 2 more miles up the road from there. And then in between the Island Resort and Casino and my house, there are 2 county roads. There's a county road, I can't remember the name of it, and then there's County Road 551, and then there's D1, which is the one I live on. So as I got past the first county road, which I think is Hannibal Road, I didn't see anything there, but it was like another, maybe a mile or so apart, these roads. Mm-hmm. And when I got to 551, which runs north and south, I think it was at that spot, but maybe it was just a little further up, that I spotted the nose of a plane, and it was just right over the treetops, and it was off at a right 30-degree angle, I would guess. It was really close. I would say maybe a half mile. It's hard to tell, maybe a little further, but it was big. And I thought, boy, that's going to hit the trees. What's wrong with this plane? I better you know, what do you do at that point? So I thought, well, I'll keep driving. I mean, do I pull over? If I pull over, maybe it's going to crash into me, you know, maybe mm-hmm. it's coming down. So maybe it's good to keep going.
Was it pointed toward you?
It was coming in at an angle towards me. Yes, like it was flying into towards Escanaba. So it looked like it was at a little bit of an angle. But it would have probably not hit me. The angle was just a little bit past me. Okay. So I drove for what I thought was another, I've timed this out many times going. And the quickest I feel between this, one of the spots I would have seen it in was another 13 seconds, maybe longer. So in 13 seconds, that plane was not gone. And when I got to this clearing, the only clearing that's there, I was able to look to my right, and I must have slowed down more than I realized, because it's like everything froze. And as I glanced to the right, I saw the profile picture of this plane, and it was huge. I would say it was no more than a quarter mile. If you look at in a small town where I'm at, city block, it's no more than two or three blocks away. It's that close. And it's like even being closer than when you're at the airport, seeing them. And I would say, if I had to estimate, it's not more than 200 feet off the ground. And what I also noticed, which is pretty amazing, is that the engines were in back by the tail. There probably was at least 40 to 50 seats. It's one of those kind of mid-sized passenger planes, smaller passenger planes. It was all one color. I did not see any markings for any of the airlines or anything on there. And I was able to take that all in just like a second, you would think, right? Because how fast, even if I slowed down into the 40s, you know, I did the math on this, Dave, and I realized, okay, I'm traveling, let's say, an average speed of 60 miles an hour. Most of us around here are going to probably drive somewhere in there. The speed is about 55. Mm-hmm. So I will travel a mile a minute. So in 15 seconds, approximately, between me seeing it the first time, I'm traveling a quarter of a mile. Well, it was about a half a mile up the road. This plane, I looked at how fast jet engines can go. The slowest speed they can go is like 111 miles an hour. And I don't know if that's with everyone or just certain ones. So it's traveling twice as fast as me. So in 15 seconds, if it was a half mile away from me, it should have covered that distance and been way past me. And me going the opposite way, in 15 seconds, I cover a quarter of a mile. There's no way that plane should have been where I saw it. Mm. And furthermore, at the time when I saw it, I thought, like, I was just lucky to see this plane. Wow, and it wasn't like it was crashing. It wasn't descending or ascending. It was just there, perfect picture, like almost perfectly aligned. And just sitting there for me to look at. Hmm. And so I drove a little further up because my turnoff is D1. That's the next road up. And I, for a moment, there's an old highway that goes parallel with the road I was just on, the highway. And I could have circled back up there and thought, maybe it's still there. I thought, no, I'm hungry. I'm going to go home. What a great UFO investigator. I'm hungry. I'm going to go home and eat. Yeah. My wife is coming home, and I'm going to make supper for her. Mm-hmm. So the more I realized that there's no way I feel that could have not, it had to be suspended and it had to be sitting there. So I called even the local airport and I got nothing. And I waited for the FAA to come out with some kind of report, because there would be, wouldn't there, Dave? If there was a plane that's even flying low, right?
When you say you got nothing when you called it, did you get no response, or did they?
I got no response. Yeah, because they're a small airport; they're not always open. And I thought, do I want to keep calling them? Are they going to think I'm some kind of, you know, loony?
Well, you called them around the time you saw this plane, right?
Correct.
And you say they're not always open, so they obviously weren't open at the time.
And they're only open when planes are coming in. So was this a plane that was supposed to come here, or was it going somewhere else?
Well, if it was that low, how far away is the airport?
I'd live about, like I say, 15 miles, and this was within a half mile of where I live. So there's no way a plane should be that low flying, you know, boy, you're coming in awful early to lower the plane down. I don't think the FAA would have been, this would have been a major news story. And since I work in radio and we have a news department, nothing was covered in the news, and the FAA reports, you can read them, and there was nothing released by them. This would have been a major investigation.
So even if it was coming, a landing at that airport, comparatively near you, which it wouldn't have been, where was I going with this? It couldn't have been landing there because nobody was there to receive it, correct?
As far as I know. I mean, I don't have the flight record of what things were that day, so I don't know exactly 100%. I just tried to call out there, and I got a recording. And I know they're not always there, except for when the planes show up. It's a very small airport.
Okay.
So one more thing. I don't think I told you this. This kind of adds a little, makes it a little more interesting. And I don't know if it's connected. So I would get, I'm pretty sure the time of day was about 3:30 when I spotted this plane. I talked about it with a lot of different people. About a week or so later, I had to go do some work in a town called Gwin, which is approximately 45 to 50 miles due north of where I live, maybe a little bit northeast. And I was mentioning to a friend of mine, I said, yeah, I saw this plane about 3:30. He goes, you know what? This is really weird. He says, let me think. Oh, yeah, it's the same day, he said, at 3:15. I saw two black, totally black, unmarked helicopters flying side by side really low over the treetops.
Wow.
And he said, I was worried that their rotors were going to hit each other. And I really felt it was military because there were no markings. I've never seen them that close, he said, and I've never seen them that low. It's like, and he said they were heading towards Escanaba, which would have been in a southeast direction, like they were looking for something.
Correct me if I'm mistaken, but even military has to have markings, a tail marking on their, a tail number on their craft. Am I correct?
I do not know that, but I know in some, they're unmarked in some, I mean, maybe they have a tail marking, but like you don't see it on the regular craft. You don't see markings from what I understand of that. So, but I'm not an expert by any means, but I just thought that was an incident coincidence. And then, you know, I did contact, because I thought, well, maybe it's kind of connected to a UFO. So I contacted William Konkoleski, who is MUFON director, who you know well, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted advice from him what I should do. I sent him an email, and then he was kind enough to respond back to me. He goes, well, it might be, you might want to file a report. And I thought, well, I don't know if this is really, I guess it could be identified. But he started to, in the email, he told me about a couple of guys that he knew pretty well. They actually, I don't know if they still work for MUFON, but they did. So they seem like reliable sources. And he said they were traveling somewhere downstate, and they looked up in the sky and they saw a plane suspended in air. And when they got out to look at it, they noticed that the lights, was it a red and yellow light on the plane? Is that what they have?
A red and, red, white, and green.
They said the red and the green were in the wrong wings. If that's what, and so when they made that comment, the lights switched, like right like that.
Wow.
And so this is what led me to believe, like, you know, would the aliens cloak themselves as a plane? I guess anything's possible. Or is this some kind of government project? Or is this kind of like a time rip? Or the Matrix is falling apart? Or
yeah, that's a theory that we're living in.
So what do you think? What would be your hunches on something like that?
Yeah, I could not tell you. But I tell you what, there are many sightings of this type of thing. Now, to play devil's advocate here, I watched a video on YouTube that gives an explanation of this phenomenon, and I'll throw it out there for you. Long story short, if you're in a moving vehicle, the aircraft is moving, but there is some reference point between you and the aircraft that remains stationary, let's say a building or a clump of trees, these stationary objects are called resting points, which gives the plane the optical illusion of standing still in midair. So would you concede that this might account for the event, given you were not standing still at the time?
I mean, anything is possible. I'm not going to say, oh, no, but it's like I'm going the opposite way. This plane is really close to me. All I got to do is go down to the airport, and I can watch, and I'm stationary watching planes come in. Mm-hmm. And you see how quickly they move when they start getting towards the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get a complete picture of them like they're frozen. And then you mentioned also, I mean, I'm within a few blocks of this thing. Where is the jet engines? I should have heard those loud and clear.
Yeah, that was another question I was going to have for you. What did it sound like, if anything?
I didn't hear anything. And normally, when I drive home, and I can't say for sure that day, but normally I don't have my radio on because I like to just have a nice quiet ride home. It's a good way to relax and clear my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that that thing was not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how clearly I saw it. Even if I were to do it now, and I go by there every day, and I slow down, and I sometimes slow down to about 50, and I look over there, I'm thinking, boy, you got to be quick. You'd have to really catch it at just the right moment
mm-hmm.
if you're going to see it, the whole thing. And I was able to scan from nose to tail, and in that moment of scanning, it didn't move. And then next thing you know, you're past it. So the only way I would have really known for sure if I would have circled back, which my instinct was telling me to do,
mm-hmm.
then we would have known for sure. I looked for any kind of reports on Facebook. I was tempted to put something out there, but I just don't want to bring that kind of attention to myself. So I just thought, I'll leave it.
And that's why you probably didn't see anything on Facebook, because anyone who saw that or witnessed such a thing does not want to bring that attention to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that guy must be crazy, you know?
Well, and then there's the, you know, what if that is something? And then there's the old Men in Black factor going through my mind. I get some people saying, you didn't see anything if you don't look good for you.
Yeah, right.
Didn't even see us. And I'd say, but you guys don't even appear human. Never mind. You didn't see anything.
Yeah, so that said, there are many examples where a witness or a camera is standing still and the plane or flying birds have appeared to remain frozen in midair. Have you seen examples of that?
Well, you sent me that one video that looked like it was maybe in another country where they were filming a crow that was suspended in midair. And then, you know, you were the one that told me I should maybe check out Paranormal Caught on Camera.
Yeah.
And I've seen more than one experience where they've shown planes that were suspended. They've shown a crow. This guy was just driving in his car. He gets out and he sees this crow stuck in the air and he was filming it. And then another one was feeding a squirrel and the squirrel stopped moving and he's touching it and poking it. And it's just like frozen. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that one that I think a lot of us saw of those sheep that were just still, didn't move at all, right?
On the hillside, yeah.
Yeah. And then even the ones that went in a circle. What's going on? What kind of crazy things are going on? So is it connected to some kind of alien phenomena? Is it a natural thing? Are there places in the earth where you could be flying along and you just get stuck? And then you have to wait. And maybe this is something that, you know, maybe they know this in the military. They're just not going to tell us. I don't know.
Right. Need to take one more break to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with a researcher and paranormal witness, actually, Mr. T.J. Ryan, as the show Out There. And it's a podcast. So I sent you an excerpt from my book, The UFO Jesus Connection.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
An example of this phenomenon we're talking about. Do you have that with you?
I do not have that with me, but I know you were talking about, was it Joseph that witnessed this, people being suspended and things being suspended?
Yeah, now that was in a apocryphal verse. It wasn't in the Bible.
Okay.
But they pulled a lot of verses out of the Bible or never made it into the Bible because I don't think the church or the Romans wanted certain things to be put out to the public. So if you don't have it right in front of you, allow me to read that.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Protovangelion is the name of the book, Protovangelion 13, 1 through 10. And it states, now this is what Joseph, Mary is in the stable, and Joseph went out to find a midwife, okay? And this is the quote. But as I was going, said Joseph, I looked up into the air, and I saw the clouds astonished, and the fowls of the air stopped in the midst of their flight. And I looked down toward the earth, and I saw a table spread, and working people sitting around it. But their hands were upon the table, and they did not move to eat. They had meat in their mouths, and they did not eat. They lifted their hands up their hands up to their heads, did not draw them back. And they who lifted them up to their mouths did not put anything in. But all their faces were fixed upward. And I beheld the sheep dispersed, and yet the sheep stood still. And the shepherd lifted up his hand to smite them, and his hand continued up. And I looked onto the river and saw the kids with their mouths close to the water and touching it, but they did not drink. So that was an apocryphal verse. Now, you can say, well, that wasn't in the Bible. Well, no, but it's still written back 2,000 years ago as to what someone witnessed back then, you know.
So it seems like it was like a UFO activity, or if they're all looking at the sky.
Well, what we consider today, see, this is what my book was all about.
Too bad nobody wrote a book about that connection between the biblical times and, you know.
Don't make me come over there. But yeah, they saw things back then 2,000, 4,000 years ago that we're seeing today. And they wrote about what they didn't make a connection between extraterrestrial, other dimensional, computer glitch in the matrix. There's no connection like that. Mm-hmm. So they wrote about what they witnessed and what they witnessed. And then, of course, Linda Cortile in the Brooklyn Bridge abduction, she was called under hypnosis, being taken by three human-looking beings as a child. A child of 10 or 11, while on a family outing to a swimming pool at Brooklyn's Coney Island. And she had gone into the bathhouse to change into her swimsuit when she was confronted by three male figures whose occasional presence she had become accustomed to. And they simply told her, it's time to go. And after some resistance on her part, she felt compelled to acquiesce. And the men led her out of the bathhouse to the waiting ship that hovered overhead. And as she walked past the swimming pool, she noticed an eerie silence. And many people were in and about the pool as she passed, but they were frozen in place. and the children in the pool, who had been splashing water on each other, were as mannequins frozen in position. Big droplets of water remained suspended in midair above their heads, and people that they passed on their way were rooted in mid-stride, and it was like walking through a three-dimensional photograph. So that was from Bud Hopkins' Witnessed.
It was a good book, too. I like
Very
that.
Very good book, yeah.
I like
that. That's another example of this type of phenomenon taking place. And
so you think that it could be a possibility of a UFO?
It's possible, but like you stated in the beginning there, all these things are connected. Is it UFO? Is it other dimensional? Is it spiritual? And the answer is yes.
Could be several different things, and I don't want to single it out and just say it's this or that. You know, at first I was kind of exciting, hoping that, oh, maybe this is a UFO, and maybe there was a ship above it that I didn't see because I didn't look up that high.
Yeah.
Maybe this was the actual UFO. Or maybe it was just a plane, or maybe it wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of those drones. As far as I know, the drones, they have the big nose, don't they? Because they have to get a radio signal.
Mm-hmm. The drones, yeah. Yeah.
Would and then they usually, don't they also have like a propeller behind the drones?
And they also make a sound.
Yeah. So this was a passenger plane. And I would say no more than a 50 or 60 seater at the most. And what it was doing there, that far off course, because there is another airport. I talked about my friend in Gwin. Well, we also have Sawyer International Airport. And that's probably at least 50 miles to 55 miles, probably 50 miles, kind of in a northeast direction from me. So they would have been way off course. One of the theories I thought about is that this was a plane. We get a lot of planes from Canada that come over. I see the flights. I look at the flight. You know, you can go check out the flights over your area. We don't get many, so I can see where these planes are coming from and the bigger ones and whatever, where they're going. So it's possible this could have been coming from Minneapolis, going down state or somewhere in Canada, maybe Detroit or even beyond that. And was it off course? And maybe that's possibly why the helicopters, if they're connected to this story, it was initially supposed to be going over the international airport in Sawyer. And yet, because that's close to Gwin, where my friend saw the helicopters. But maybe that's why they were looking in that direction, because that's the last reported spot where this plane was. I don't know.
And yet, would that plane be that low at that?
No. It's not supposed to be that low, but I'm just saying, what if the plane got hijacked by some aliens and they moved it over here, and now all of a sudden, you know, the local airport sends out these helicopters to start looking for them to see if there's where this plane is and why it's missing, and yet nothing makes the news, and that to me is probably the most telling fact of what this is. Even if I was just watching this plane and it moved on me, and I've got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the report in the FAA, and why is there not an investigation? Because this would be huge, and the pilot would probably be in a, you know, unless there was something wrong with the plane, but the pilot could be in a lot of trouble. And one of my thoughts was, well, maybe it's a private plane, and these people are flying under radar, and they're very rich, and they're wealthy, and they're just goofing around. But again, it looked like a typical passenger plane. I don't know if somebody could take a private plane and do something like that, but you'd still be in a ton of trouble, I would think.
Would a private plane be as large as you have witnessed?
I think that probably if you're very wealthy, maybe you'd have something like that. I don't know.
Well, it would seem that if you were very wealthy to afford a plane like that, you'd be able to afford a better pilot. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Jim, you know, are we landing in a field or what? You know?
Well, maybe the owner was like a Mr. Howell, And let's just buzz those people down there. Go down there and scare the locals. And hey, that was fun. Let's go scare these other farmers. And, you know, so I had visions of that going through my head. I highly think that's not what it was. Highly unlikely that
right.
It was either, in my perception, a military plane that looks like a passenger plane that can hover, or it could have been a UFO that was cloaked, or some other phenomenon. You know, is it possible that maybe I was witnessing, one guy even suggested that, well, maybe you're looking at the past or the future, mm-hmm. or something that popped in that area for a moment, and then it's not there. Some people can, you know, will claim that that's a theory why people see these, like the Loch Ness Monster, is mm-hmm. that kind of open this dimension, they pop in, and then nobody, you can send all these submarines down there and they can't find it. It's like it pops in and pops out. So, I mean, there's a lot of different theories that it could be, I guess.
Well, I've talked to Stan Gordon about, he's really in, are you familiar with Stan Gordon?
Yes, I am. I've interviewed him before. Matter of fact, I think you were the one that told me about him.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And he's into Bigfoot. And way back when, I wasn't into Bigfoot because I'm into UFOs and Bigfoot's cryptozoology and yada yada. But now I'm beginning to believe that Bigfoot and UFOs are all part and parcel of the same phenomenon. And why don't we find deceased Bigfoot remains, you know? But they have seen Bigfoot in the vicinity, in the proximity, I should say, of UFOs in the past. Are they from other planets, other dimensions? Do they get them out of the UFOs and get back into the UFOs and take off? And that's why we don't find any of them living?
Well, if they do, Dave, those aliens must have a really poor sense of smell. To be riding in a UFO with a Bigfoot.
They're all Bigfoots in that particular UFO.
Maybe you're right. Bigfoot doesn't strike me as somebody that would want to fly a UFO, but it's certainly possible. There is a story that I know personally about, since you mentioned this subject. There, not far from my house, probably within 5 miles or less, there was a woman, a husband, her and her husband live on a road. It's County Road, I think, 557. And that's maybe a couple of roads up from me. And they live a ways down the road. And I was told by somebody that used to work for me when I had a DJ business, she said, oh, yeah, my good friend, her husband has been seeing Bigfoot. You should give her a call and maybe see if you can talk to her husband. So I called her up. And her husband was not available at the time. And I didn't want to keep bugging him. You know, if they don't want to talk, that's fine. He was a little reluctant because he didn't want, you know, people to make fun of him. But one, they were on native land. So there seems to be a lot of that happens connected to natives. Two, he would go out hunting and he loved to hunt. And nothing would keep him from hunting. And on his way out to his deer blind, he would see this big, hairy type being. And there were a bunch of strange lights around it.
There you go.
His wife was telling me, you know, every so often somebody wants to go out to his hunting spot with him because it's such a good spot. And these people will go with him, a friend of his, and they will be out there for a matter of minutes. And then they'll see the hairy creature and they'll see the lights and they will run and never come back again.
Do they have cameras with them?
Not that I know of. I only talked to her once and I didn't want to keep, I think I tried calling a second time, but I didn't want to keep bothering them. He seemed kind of reluctant to speak with me. So I just let it go at that. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because you hear these stories and, you know, they're not documented, I guess, but word of mouth can tell you a lot about what's going on. I think that's kind of where I gained a lot of things.
Yeah. I think that is the best way, but you know, you do need some kind of documentation, some kind of proof, even cameras, even pictures, people, if you want to be a skeptic, you can just say, oh, yeah, I can do that on my computer, you know? Right. I can do that with Photoshop. Doubters are going to doubt, okay?
Well, even with the videos, too, like the one you sent me with the bird that was suspended in sky, I start thinking, who's the guy shooting this video?
Yeah.
And why was he there the whole time? And why did, had it been me, I would have started walking closer because look at what the heck this is, you know? So that kind of made me think maybe that was set up. It's like the video takes a while before a van pulls up and this bird, this crow is suspended in air and the guy gets out with like a broom or something and he tries to move it and the crow kind of falls and then it goes back up to the same spot. And whoever's filming this this whole time is standing quite a ways away. And I thought, if that was me, wouldn't you have done that, Dave? You wouldn't have just stayed a ways away. I would have been getting as close as I could to get a good view of this.
Yeah. Then again, maybe the camera was stationary. Maybe it was set up on a tripod or something.
That's possible.
You don't know. But maybe it was set up on a tripod for a reason.
Exactly. But I'll take more of somebody driving down the road. And even then, they could edit it. Like the guy I saw on Paranormal, a cut on camera. He sees this in the sky, so he pulls out his phone and he starts filming it, and then he stops his vehicle and gets out. And again, anything could be faked. I mean, all of it could be faked.
Yeah. You mentioned before, I forget now who it was, you said, saw something suspended, is a bird or a plane or something suspended in midair, and they were standing still?
Yes. You're talking about the guys that know Bill Konkoleski, right?
Right. Okay.
The two guys, they got out of their car.
Okay.
They were driving. They saw it. They got out, and they noticed that it was still. And when they commented on the lights being in the wrong place is when the lights switched, like it could hear them, which if it's a alien or some kind of conscious being, it doesn't have to be within hearing range. Right. I believe they can hear our thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
The same with Sasquatch. People wonder, well, why can't I ever see a Sasquatch? Well, I'm going to go in the woods and lay in wait for them. Well, they know what you're thinking. And I believe there's a connection to where they can pick up our thoughts and they can avoid us. The only ones they let see them are the ones they choose to let see them, from what I understand of that. So
there's another connection with the ones that we refer to as alien beings, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you don't know. Maybe they are alien beings. But these guys that were standing still, you know, even if this video that I saw on YouTube is correct and it was an optical illusion because you're traveling one way, the plane's traveling another, it looks like it's over a building, and the plane rather is over a building, so it appears to be standing still. Even if that were the case, these guys weren't traveling, were they? They were standing still.
Exactly.
And there are so many witnesses where they're standing still, or the camera's standing still, like in the case of the bird. And it appears to be frozen in time. And I mentioned earlier in this interview that there are some people that say we're living in a computer simulation, and these are examples of a glitch in the matrix. So what would you say to that analogy?
I certainly am open to pretty much everything, as you probably know. And I think that's certainly a possibility. I see, you know, what we call the third dimension. Mm. It's really all an illusion in a way, because this is, you know, I know you believe we go on. I know you believe in God. Mm. So in a way, this is not our real home. And if this is not our real home, then it kind of is like an illusion for us to play in, to live in. Mm. So if... let's say the world is being controlled by other beings. And you said we have the watchers protecting us. But let's say the world has been controlled for a long time. Then these ones that have controlled us are adding to that illusion, and there are things they don't want us to see. And so they have, in a way, programmed us. They program us, I think, with our televisions, with our music, with everything that is around us, is they're trying to keep us to believe what we think is reality. And yet when you have an out-of-body experience, like you told me you did, right, you know that there's more than what they tell us. And that's not considered to be, in most cases, a real thing. But both you and I have had those. So we know that there's something more.
So once again, I would say that these ones that are trying to convince us through our TV shows, our movies, and control our minds, it's the government.
And who's the government aligned with?
I would say extraterrestrial.
So you have one in maybe some that are good and some that are kind of the yin and yang of the universe, right?
Right. But I don't know as if it's the computer wizards in which we're in their simulation. I personally don't buy that computer simulation analogy, but
not completely neither for me. I don't buy that neither, but I think some of it in a way is like kind of an illusion that's in front of us.
Oh, yeah. It can be. It can be an illusion. Something can be illusionary, you know. So do you think that these type of experiences, as well as ghosts and UAPs and all of that, are all part and parcel of the psi phenomenon?
I think it's all connected. It's all part of the unknown. That's what draws me to it. And there's an answer for all of it. And so, you know, I'm sure there's got to be an answer for, right? So we scratch our head and we wonder, well, how does this happen? And I've delved into the ghost topic many, many times with many different people. I'm kind of not as interested in that as much, you know, but I do believe that it's all part of this big universe that we don't understand, and a multiverse perhaps, and these other dimensions and these other places where beings exist. And it's all part of creation would be my answer to that.
Why is it you think that your ghosts are not your deal? I mean, that would be another dimension, right?
Yeah. It's just that I've done enough on that. You know, if somebody were to tell me a ghost story, I'd talk about it. But, you know, I'm more interested in stuff. We kind of know ghosts are real. Most people believe that. A lot of people have seen them. There are things they don't believe, like UFOs or Sasquatch or the man wolf and all these other creatures that are out there. And so I just think those are connected to part of a bigger picture, whereas a lot of times a spirit could be just left over, you know, hasn't moved on. That's part of a life cycle. So, yeah, it's all interesting.
Go ahead.
It's all interesting, but some things now seem to grab my interest more than others.
Right. So, TJ, give us the URL again where the people can go to hear your podcast out there.
Yeah, it's real easy if you go to outthere.podbean.com, and do not type in the W's because I don't think it'll take you there for some reason. So outthere.podbean.com.
Podbean.
Yes, sir. P-O-D-B-E-A-N.
P-O-D-B-E-A-N. I had never heard of that before, but okay. Outthere.podbean. And you have more, all your shows are archived, right?
Yes, sir. Anytime, just like your shows, you've got a bazillion of them. And I've got quite a few, so many different topics.
TJ Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, David.
Hope we can do it again.
Anytime.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage and scroll down to We Are Not Alone and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archived shows. Please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. Until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.